I want to invite you to take your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you got. We're going to stand, go to the book of Acts. I've been preaching a series of messages entitled Back to the Book. And God seemed to lay a phrase, a colloquialism on my heart. In a day in which everybody is reinventing, everything's changing, we've got to reinvent, or we'll be left behind. Folks, I don't know if we need to reinvent. I think we probably need to rediscover. I think we need to rediscover God. And we need to rediscover the Word of God. What God's Word says. Because, folks, God's Word still works. Amen? God's Word still works. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's immutable. It's unchanging. It's still the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in the upper room in Jerusalem. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to take just a little while, and I want to talk to you about the birth. The birth. You know, I received something a few weeks ago that I knew existed, but I never placed my eyes upon it. I knew it existed. It had to exist, but I'd never placed my eyes upon it. I received my birth certificate. My birth certificate. I found out from this birth certificate, what I already knew, that I was born in Warren County General Hospital in McMinnville, Tennessee. But I learned some things about my birth that I didn't know. I didn't know that I was actually born at 3:40 in the morning. I didn't know that when I was born, I weighed 8¾ pounds. Bless Mama's heart. I didn't know some things. I looked on this birth certificate, and I saw my feet, little imprints of my feet, and then I saw Mama's thumb. It's on the birth certificate. I saw Mama's name, Melba Jean Walker, the mother of this baby. It's my birth certificate. It certifies that I was born. And when I think of birth, I always seemingly think of this story. It says, due to a power outage, only one paramedic responded to the call. The house was very dark, and this paramedic said to 3-year-old Caitlin, "Will you hold the flashlight? I'm going to deliver the baby." And little Caitlin held that flashlight, and that paramedic delivered the baby, and the baby was born. Then that paramedic picked that little baby boy up. His name was Connor, and spanked him on the backside. And Connor began to cry. Then that paramedic looked at 3-year-old little Caitlin and said, "Caitlin, what do you think about that?" And Caitlin, with big eyes, said, "He shouldn't have crawled up in there in the first place. Spank him again." Well, folks, I want to talk to you about birth, but I'm not talking to you about the birth of any individual. I want to talk to you about the birth of the church. The birth of the church. And folks, I'm not talking about Baptist, or I'm talking about Methodist. I'm not talking about Pentecostal or Presbyterian. The church is those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That He's their propitiation for sin, and they've trusted Him for their full atonement for their sin. That's the church. And you know, folks, I'll tell you what, we need to realize. Do you realize it matters not if we're educated, uneducated? It matters not if we're black or white or brown. If we're a part of the church, we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We don't treat each other sometimes like it, but really we're brothers and sisters. You know what helped mine and Barbara's marriage, and I've not always followed through on this as well as I should have. But we decided years ago, if you don't say anything about my family, I won't say anything about your family. Now, I still need improvement in that. But you know what I learned? I learned that I could say it and it upset her, but she could say it and it'd be fine. Because it was her family. Amen? Isn't that where we lived? I learned I didn't like it. If she said it, it was okay for me to say it. But folks, why don't we take that same concept to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Why don't we take that same concept and say, no, that's my brother. That's my sister that you're talking about. We're a part of the family of God. So I want us to look at the birth. I want us to look at the birth of the church. And I want you to see some things about it. The first thing is so important I want you to see about it. I want you to see the command. The command. Now you got to understand something, folks. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, he arose. After he arose, he walked around. He walked around for 40 days. He was seen of 517 that we know of. 517 that we know of viewed him in the resurrected body. But then you and I know he ascended to heaven. But before he ascended to heaven, in Acts 1 and 4, this is the command he gave the disciples. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. You know what he said to the church? He said, don't you go working. Don't you go witnessing. Don't you do anything. You just wait on me. You just wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Now, folks, if he told them not to preach without the Holy Spirit, if he told them not to teach without the Holy Spirit, if he told them not to sing without the Holy Spirit, why would we try to be doing things without the Holy Spirit? Why would we try to do anything, folks? We can't do anything of significance without the Holy Spirit. He said, no. You just wait. And, folks, this is what I've learned in my life. When you don't have a definite word from God, when you don't know beyond any shadow of a doubt what you need to do, you need to just wait on the Lord. When you don't know which decision to make, Brother Benny, what's your advice? My advice is just don't make a decision. Just wait on God. Just wait on God, because every time I've ever jumped ahead and every time I've tried to go out and do something without waiting on the Lord, I always got in trouble. And you will too, and it's difficult for an A-type personality just to wait on God. A guy goes into a drugstore, and he says, I need something for the hiccups. And the pharmacist takes a glass of water and just throws it in the guy's face. And the guy's irate. He said, why did you do that for? And the pharmacist says, well, you don't have the hiccups anymore, do you? He said, I never did. My wife in the car does. So this is what I know, folks. When we don't wait, we get in trouble. See, I see the command, but I see something else. I see the cloven tongues. I see the cloven tongues. Well, what the Bible says, it says in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost. Now, folks, when I first accepted Christ and got in church, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. But even I started observing. And when I saw that word Pentecost, I'm going to be honest with you. Most of us think Pentecost means a group of women that can't wear makeup. Now, when I first started preaching, if you were Pentecostal, you couldn't wear it. I think they can now. Oh, yeah, but when I first started preaching 35 years ago, I thought it had to do with a lady and growing real long hair and getting a bowl up on her head. That's what I thought he meant. But I want to tell you, the New Testament was written in Greek. And Pentecost is a Greek word. Now get prepared, because this is real spooky. This is real mystical. This is real spiritual. Let me tell you what this word Pentecost really means. I'm going to break it down. This is only for spiritual people to get this right here. Only real deep spiritual. It means 50th. 50th. It means 50th, because what it was, Pentecost was a Jewish feast that was 50 days from the Jewish feast Passover. That's all it means. It's not a charismatic term. It's not a Baptist term. It's not a Methodist term. It's not a Church of God term. It only means 50th. And Pentecost was a Jewish feast where Jewish people would bring 2 loaves of barley, and they would come to the temple in Jerusalem, and they would wave their loaves of barley. They were acknowledging that God had given them the barley in the spring, and they were trusting Him for a great summer crop. That's all Pentecost means. So when the Bible says the day of Pentecost was fully come, they had came here from better than 12 different countries simply to say thank you to God. Pentecost, if you want to Americanize it, would be similar to our Thanksgiving Day. There's 3 things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the sounds. The sounds. The Bible says in 2 and 2, look what it says. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. You said, Pastor Benny, why do you think there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind? This is what I truly believe. God said, I have been promising the Holy Spirit was going to come. I want to get your attention. That's why this sound. Because He is coming. The Spirit that was mentioned 800 times in the Bible, 50 times in the book of Acts alone, the Holy Spirit. The one that we've been talking about, He is coming. Now, here's what I want you to understand, folks. He is a person. But the best translation for the Spirit is wind or breath. Wind or breath. That's what Jesus said in John. Notice what the scripture says. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannotest tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Here's what I'm saying, folks. You don't know when the wind's going to blow. You don't know when the wind's going to blow. And that's what I say to churches. Folks, we don't control the wind blows. And folks, the Holy Spirit should be free to move in our churches. The Holy Spirit should be free to move within our churches. And folks, and listen, you got to get what I'm saying. I'm talking about a true wind from God. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit manifests His presence. That's what we need. His real presence. Now, folks, I've been in places, I preach somewhere just all the time in some other state. I've been in places that are very windy. but I didn't sense the Holy Spirit. I've been in places so windy the state bird could have been a toupee, but I didn't sense the Holy Spirit. You say, well, how do you know? How do you know if it's the real? How do you know? Well, look what the Bible says. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You know what they said? Jesus said, if it's really the Holy Spirit, he'll glorify Jesus. Somebody said, if it's really the Holy Spirit, it won't bring, he won't bring attention to you. He'll bring attention to Jesus Christ. He won't bring attention to you. He'll bring attention to Jesus Christ. That's how you know that it's a sound from heaven. Not only the sound, but I see the sights. Pastor Benny, why do you think all this wind and why do you think the fire? Well, if you really process it, in Exodus chapter 19, when God gave the Ten Commandments, he confirmed it with wind and fire. But not only the sounds, not only the sights, but I want you to see, folks, the speeches. Now, they were 120 Jews here. They were uneducated people. They were just uneducated people. Now, Jesus gave his ministry and he had 120 people. He gave his life and there were 120 people here. But you know what? The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came, the 120 started speaking in different languages. Remember, I told you there was people here from all over the Roman Empire. Better than 12 nations. And the Bible says those people heard the gospel in their language, and 3,000 of them accepted Jesus Christ. Now, here's what's amazing. What a difference, ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit makes. What a difference the Holy Spirit makes. And the Bible says they were all sitting there. They weren't trying to work something up. The precious Holy Spirit came down. The cloven tongues. But I want you to see something else. The crowd. Who was here? Every nation in the Roman world. Why do you think, Pastor, they brought two barley loaves? I think one barley loaf represented the Jews. I think the other barley loaf represented the Gentiles. And I think what God was saying, the Holy Spirit is not for a select few. He's for all people. The Holy Spirit's not for a select few. He's for all people. He's for all people. He's for you. He's for me. He's for our lives. Now, there's a fourth thing I want you to see. I want you to see the confusion. In verse 13, when these people started speaking in different languages, they said, wait. Some of the people said, we know the answer. They're drunk. They've been in the sauce. Yeah, they've been. By the way, folks, I'm just preaching the Bible. They've been in the new wine. Now, here's what I'll say, folks. If you've been in church anytime, if you've been in church a long time, you've heard a ton of teaching about God. You've heard a ton of teaching about Jesus. But we don't talk much about the Holy Spirit. And he's just as much God as God is God. And he's just as much God as Jesus is God. He's a part of the Trinity. Somebody said, but Pastor Berman, you need to stay away from that. And the devil will say, oh, you stay away from that teaching. You just stay away from that. That's strange. Let me tell you something, folks. The Holy Spirit, he's not strange. I want to report to you today with affirmation. He's not weird. I've never found him to be weird. I've never found him to be strange. I've found people doing things in the name of the Holy Spirit that were weird and strange, but he's not weird or strange. One pastor was pastoring an old church, and it had rafters in the top of the building. And he was going to preach a message, and he was going to hit his third point. And he was going to say, "Come forth, Holy Spirit." And he had a young boy planted in the rafters that was going to drop a dove. And sure enough, that little boy crawled up in those rafters, that old country church. And that preacher said, "Come forth, Holy Spirit." And nothing happened. And he said, "Come forth, Holy Spirit." And nothing happened. And the third time he said, "I mean it. Come forth, Holy Spirit." And the little boy said, "A yellow cat ate the Holy Spirit. You want me to throw the cat down?" You know what I believe, folks? I believe we've had a lot of cats and we tried to create the Holy Spirit. I think we've had a lot of cats and tried to create the Holy Spirit. But we need Him. The confusion. But look at the clarification. The clarification. Notice what the scripture says. These men are not drunk. It's in verse 15. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. But they went on to say in the book of Acts, let us explain what this is. That in the last days, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, folks, let me tell you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the book, Hair Lip the Devil. He didn't say, just your sons shall prophesy. He said, your sons and daughters. Am I preaching the book? Somebody say amen. Amen. No. And young men shall see visions. And old men shall dream dreams. By the way, I'm still seeing visions. Now look. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Folks, I want to be clear. God put me on a quest probably about a year ago. And I've tried to get off the quest because I've tried to tell myself I need to be more balanced. But I can't get off the quest. I can't get off the quest of realizing how much we need the Holy Spirit. I can't get off that quest. I can't get off that drive. I can't get away from it no matter how hard I try. And I know what some of you think, oh, Lord, he got 7 more points. We'll be here all day. No. I'm almost done, I promise. But I want to share with you. I want to share with you why you. I want to share with you why I need the Holy Spirit. Number one, we need the Holy Spirit for conviction. See, before I got saved, my sister Rhonda got saved. Lord willing, she's going to come be in church with us in a few weeks. But before I got saved, my sister Rhonda got saved, and she would invite me to go to church with her. And I went to a little church, and there was about 25 people there. And every time I'd go, I'd be so uncomfortable. Where did we ever get this notion, folks, that everybody's got to be so comfortable at church? Where did we ever go? Oh, we want everybody to be comfortable. Whatever you do, Pastor, don't offend anybody. You could, that person could be contributing a lot, and you could offend them, and it could be so bad. I've got a Greek word for that, baloney. Baloney. If you get offended over the Word of God, this is not the place for you anyway. I'll recommend some dead church you can go to. No, yeah, if you get offended over that, just find you a place. There's somewhere out there. There's some dead Dr. Bottle Stopper. Let him talk to you. No. The Holy Spirit convicts our hearts. And I'd go to that church, and ever they'd sing, and I'd feel conviction. The preacher'd preach, and I'd feel conviction. They'd give the invitation, I'd feel conviction. I felt just so uncomfortable. I felt like I was in a phone booth with three Jehovah's Witnesses. So uncomfortable. We need the Holy Spirit for conviction, but we need the Holy Spirit for assurance. How do I know that I'm saved? How do you know that you're saved? Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit itself. See, folks, you know what most people want in preaching? Let me tell you what most people want in preaching. They want ammunition for what they already believe. But the moment the preacher says something that's contrary to what grandmother taught them, turn him off. I've heard this all my life. Oh, my spirit. Our spirit hooked up. I can tell our spirit hooked up. That's not what Romans 8 and 16 is talking about. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's not talking about me and Cameron hooking up. It's talking about me and God hooking up. See, folks, how do we know we're saved? The Holy Spirit comes into your life. Well, how do you know, Pastor Benny, that he came into your life? Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, let me tell you, when I got saved, I didn't become perfect. I'm still not perfect. The only thing I do perfectly is eat. I'm not perfect. But this is what I know. He put love in my heart that wasn't there before. He gave me peace that wasn't there before. He gave me joy that wasn't there before. See, conviction, assurance, but quickly, understanding. 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 You know, every time I do this, yeah, you ever know you do something that upsets people, but you do it anyway? My daughter, Savannah Abigail, is here today. She's here today. She graduated from Vanderbilt. Yeah, don't have much of a football team, but she graduated from Vanderbilt. Look here, look here, look here, look here. She's here. And you know, because she graduated from Vanderbilt, you say, yeah, can she understand the Bible? Not because she got a master's degree from Vanderbilt. That won't do it. That won't do it. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, look what the scripture says. And I'm so proud of her, by the way. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. No, Benny takes doctor's degree. He can't understand the Bible because of that. No, it's through the Holy Spirit. That's why when you've read 41,173 verses, which you probably have, but you read one and it just jumps out at you. And you say, I've read that 25 times. It's the Holy Spirit. Wish I had 2 hours. Anyway, the reason why we need the Holy Spirit, he's the gift giver. He's the gift giver. I've never thought about this, folks. But 1 Corinthians 12 and 11 tells us he's the one that gives us gifts. So if God's given me the gift to preach, if the Holy Spirit's given me that gift, shouldn't he guide that gift? If the Holy Spirit's given you the gift to sing, shouldn't he guide that gift? The fifth thing about the Holy Spirit is witnessing. Witnessing. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, he just called us to be witnesses, not prosecuting attorneys. Most of us are more interested in correcting people than we are connecting with people. We'd rather correct them than connect with them. I've reached that conclusion. We think somehow by correcting them, it lifts us up. Number 6, praying. praying. I want you to see this, folks, and I'm almost done. I had, you know, how preachers tell me, how do you know when you're done? Young preachers, Brother Ben, you've been doing it 35 years. How do you know when I'm done? I said, just look at the people, they'll tell you. One little boy said, Mama's a preacher done. She said, yeah, he just don't know it. But anyway, but look what this verse says. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. And folks, I know we have diversities of people. And this is what I know. This is what I know unequivocally. I'll know this unequivocally. I have prayed before. I have prayed before. And words came that weren't from Benny Tate. That I knew it was a wind from elsewhere. And we need the Holy Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit. And I need the Holy Spirit. And the church needs the Holy Spirit more than we need anything else. Let me give the last point and I'm done. We need the Holy Spirit for direction. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As they softly play, I want you to understand something. God's on his throne. Even with Harvey happening, God's still on the throne. God's still on the throne. And Jesus is at his right hand. Get this, folks. God's agent on earth is the Holy Spirit. Who's going to be here with you on this earth? The Holy Spirit. Who's going to give you direction when you don't know what to do? The Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to show you. He's the one that's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's the one that's going to lead you. We desperately need the Holy Spirit. We need to learn about Him. We need to have a relationship with Him. The birth of the church. It's because of the Holy Spirit.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling, He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make. And thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.